the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's Talktail with Chris Phillips. Coming up on today's program, headlining hypnotist Anthony Cools. Plus, we answer your questions live on the air. And now a man who has never met a tanning bed he didn't like, Mr. Chris Phillips.
Well, welcome, my friends. I am so happy to have you here. This is it. This is our very first broadcast of my very own talk show that we are calling Talktails. Apparently, our audience has had a couple of talktails. My name is Chris Phillips. I'm going to be your host, and some of you may know me as Zoe Bowie, and I have had the pleasure of having my own show here in Las Vegas on and off the Strip for the past 5 or 6 years, and during that time, I have come to know and become friends with many of the characters who make this city what it is, and I thought it would be so cool to have an opportunity to sit down, have a couple drinks, get to know them, and have an opportunity on Mondays at 4 o'clock to have them come on and have them explain as to why they wanted to move to Las Vegas and have the crazy idea that you could actually survive here. And so with that in mind, this is it, our very first show, and we'd like to say from the very onset that if you wish to contact us and reach out to us, please feel free to go to our email address. It's talktails@vegasvideonetwork.com. And please write to us with any kind of comments or suggestions. And if you're watching live, we would even suggest that you go to our live chat room where you can ask myself or our guest anything you want, and hopefully we can answer those questions live on the broadcast here. Now, I've been coming to Las Vegas, I guess since the early 70s, which dates myself, I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, there was something so special about those days when you'd walk into a casino and those grand showrooms with the maitre d's, and everybody was so dressed up, and it was kind of a maverick spirit that existed back in those days that even as a 12-year-old, I remember so vividly wanting to become part of this environment, and where the other kids on my block would always say, "Mom, Dad, I want to go to Disneyland and see Mickey Mouse. I wanted to go to Vegas. I wanted to see Wayne Newton, Don Rickles." Those were idols to me. And I think actually my very first show was at the Las Vegas Hilton, where I got to see Tony Orlando in like 1975. And I remember so distinctly that he came off the stage, and of all the tables in the room, he came right to our table, and he sweat all over us, and he was smiling, and he goes, "I never washed my face." And he leaned down and he looked at me and he shook my hand, and I looked up at him and I thought to myself, you know, if I could be an overly tan, fake teeth, crazy hair kind of entertainer the rest of my life, screw college. this is the life for me. And so I'm very proud to say that many years later, I have to say publicly that the Fertitta family, who own Station Casinos, literally changed my life and brought me out here. And it was so exciting to drive into town, and the first thing I saw was a big billboard with my face on it. Zoe Bowie is what we call our show, and that's my alter ego, and a lot of people say it's my drinking name, but then again, any name is my drinking name. But you know, enough about me, that's not why we're here. We're very fortunate that we're going to be able to get to know some of the characters, like I say, that grace the other billboards here in town, and there is no question that you cannot drive down Las Vegas Boulevard without seeing this man's face everywhere you go. As our very first guest, we are proud to have the headliner of the Paris Hotel. He's not only a hypnotist, he's not only a comedian, he's not only a great entertainer, he is truly my friend and my drinking buddy, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Cools is with us.
How are you? Stop it. Stop it. No, stop it.
What a ham.
Do you know what this means? Great.
Well, my friend, first and foremost, I just want to say you look very dashing in your spring Armani collection.
It's so last year, dude. Seriously, so last year, but it's all good.
So are we hitting the bottle right off the bat? Is that what we're doing? Please have a...
You told me if I showed up, I got booze.
Pour yourself a cocktail. I'd like to do a toast, if I may.
And validate the parking. Yeah. Okay, that's all I want.
I'll tell you what, we're too cheap to validate. Here's the $2. Just take care of the guy. Well, folks, this is exciting for me because, you know, like I said, I came to Vegas with the dream of being a Las Vegas headliner myself, and I'm now sitting next to a real live headlining performer, and if I may say, thank you for coming to being the first guinea pig on my new show called Tack Tales.
My absolute pleasure for being here.
I'm absolutely thrilled.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you. Now, everybody knows you as an entertainer and as a local celebrity and all that good stuff. But kidding. Now, look, I just have to ask. You're making your living as a hypnotist.
Mm-hmm.
How does one become a hypnotist as a kid? You're growing up. Other kids want to be football players.
Well, I had that option. I was thinking used car salesman. Make people fuck chairs. Make people fuck chairs. And it came down to the flip of a coin, really, at the end of the day, you know, and heads, and this is where it ended up being. I started reading about hypnosis when I was like 12 years old, you know.
Yes.
As an entertainer, yes. You know, it's in your blood. It's the way you're brought up. You know, you're supposed to be on a stage. You're supposed to be doing something.
Neuro-linguistic.
Programming. Yes.
Creative
visualization.
Yes.
We practiced this before the show started. We went like this a lot.
I'll never be able to pronounce those names again. But yeah. So that's essentially what's taking place on stage, and you've somehow figured out how to carve out a living doing that, and that's unbelievable. Yeah. I have no idea how you make a living doing that, but congratulations.
Thank you. I got lucky, I guess. I got a lot of practicing, you know.
Well, let me ask. This is exciting for me sitting here because when I first came to Las Vegas, you were one of the very first shows I saw. Now, since then, I've seen it 7 or 8 times. And I don't know, as an audience member, sitting there watching the people that volunteer to come up and join you, I don't know if I'm more shocked, humored, or literally disturbed in what you're able to get them to do. Now, is this a put-on, or is this for...
it's absolutely for real.
I thought so, because, you know, it's always different people. I thought, at first, you know, I was a little cynical as to this is just entertainment, but no. These are people truly following into your spell. And
if you think what it would take to fake a show
I couldn't imagine.
Just astronomical to get different people up there to do the things that they make them do up on stage in front of their grandparents and their parents and in front of their children, and to do it in such a way where you can't advertise that you want to have these people up on stage. The undertaking would be ridiculous. It's just much easier to make a real show.
What I admire about what you do as well is that not only are you going through the process of hypnotizing them into this trance-like state, but you're obviously also having to act as a casting agent to some degree for different characters that I'm sure that you have in your mind that have kind of a preconceived or a notion of what you would like them to do. So I'm guessing in the screening process, you're trying to figure out from the get-go who can fill these different roles, and you seem to brilliantly cast these people to do these outrageous things that just suit them so beautifully.
Every show, although they're different, I always start them the same. And this is a piece where they're pretending they're in an orchestra.
Yes.
And that's when I'm writing the show. That's when I'm literally writing the show. I'm going to see how that person's performing, how this person's performing. I've got probably about 8 hours of material that we can pull from, all stuck in my brain, and then I'm looking at people saying, okay, this person would be perfect for that, this person would be perfect for that, and I literally write the show at that point in time. I have no idea what I'm going to do until that orchestra gets rolling. I don't know who's going to go under. I don't know if I end up lots of women, lots of men, what age group. It varies, which makes it exciting, which makes it challenging.
That's what's exciting for the audience. And, you know, obviously.
And me.
You're as entertained as we are every night, but
I'm a good actor, too.
Well, I can tell you, you know, obviously being in Las Vegas, you're going to get all types of people coming up there under different influences. I've got to think that you've got a certain percentage of people that come up that have had a couple cocktails. They might have been doing some illegal drugs of some sort, and they just want to have...
Shut up, in Vegas!
Does that happen?
Shut up! No way!
Now, how do you screen those people?
I say, anybody using hookers or blow, please leave. You can't. You can't tell
a drunk. Sounds like one of my parties.
You can't tell a drunk, you're drunk. You can't do that. They're going to say, oh, I'm totally okay. I can't do this. I can do this. You can't tell a drunk.
No.
So what we do is we put up a certain percentage of chairs for people we know are going to go get hypnotized, and a certain percentage of chairs for those wild cards, and the wild cards are going to happen every night. And I tell people, this is, if you're drunk, you're not going to get hypnotized. If you're high, you're not going to get hypnotized. If you're unwilling, you're not going to get hypnotized. And I still get the drunk people, the high people, and the unwilling people.
So that's why you've never picked me.
You notice I don't pick anybody. I don't pick anybody.
No, I know you.
You know, I don't pick anybody.
Purely voluntary.
Yes, absolutely. And I would pick you. Good-looking guy over here. You got the rings. I would pick you just for the rings. Look at those rings.
Well, my gosh, it would be kind of like watching Sammy Davis Jr. get it on with the chair.
You just gave me a great idea right there. That's fantastic.
Well, this obviously is a severe distraction away from the fact that I have no talent whatsoever, and this is what you got to do when you can't hypnotize people.
You need to get some rings.
You need some rings! But I got to tell you, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, and I think that the people watching might find very fascinating, because I certainly do, is that you're not only an amazing entertainer and talented in what you do, but for my money, you're one of the best businessmen in the city.
Thank you.
In terms of how you have somehow, I don't even know how you've done this, but you've somehow become a one-man shop in terms of controlling your environment, controlling your entire operation. Now, am I wrong in saying that from renting the room to doing your own marketing, it's all your project, is it not?
It's all my project. I think you need to explain to a lot of people that how Vegas works.
Because yes, a lot of entertainers come. They
think they're going to get hired and they're going to make a zillion dollars. And yeah,
that's
not
going to
happen.
No.
There's basically what's going on in this town now is something called Four Wall, and you beg the casino to give you a space to perform a show at, and then you risk everything to come in there to try to attempt to sell tickets. You're wondering why a ticket costs $50 to go see an entertainer, $60 to go see an entertainer, is because that entertainer has to cover the cost of the advertising. And a billboard in town, you may not know this, but a billboard at the airport could be like $20,000 a month.
I know, and your billboards are everywhere.
Well, I started my own billboard company when I got into this right off the get-go. So I like to consider myself very self-contained.
And you also do some of those mobile billboards going up and down Las Vegas Boulevard.
Mobile billboards, the LED billboards. We have our own print shop, wrap our own vehicles.
So I'm guessing that not only are you able to advertise yourself, you're able to sell space to other entertainers like myself through your company, and that's quite brilliant, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Very impressed.
Thank you very much.
So I'm guessing you have a wonderful relationship with Paris and Harris Entertainment.
We've been. I got the original 8-month contract to do the show. 8 months in 2005, and that got extended to a year, and then 2 years, and then 4 years, and now I'm here till 2014. So wow. I'd like to think I'm doing all right.
Well, I'm very impressed, my friend, and as a fellow entertainer, I'm amazed by how you've able to persevere through, I got to ask, some of the toughest economic times
absolutely
have been upon us over the last couple of years, particularly in this city. What did you do to overcome this? Because I've seen shows drop like flies.
Well,
but you just stick it.
I survived,
stick it out,
and I did quite well.
Hang it in there.
Yeah, it's quite easy because I have no overhead, because the people on stage are real, so they don't get a paycheck. So I have no advertising overhead, I have no marketing overhead, I've got my rent that I pay to the Paris, and I've got all my subjects up on stage are real, so I get by with a very minimal cost. The shows that went belly up, they're the high dollar shows where you've got ridiculous backstage expenses and ridiculous advertising.
Pyrotechnics and flying monkeys and all that nonsense.
Stuff. Are we talking about Chris Angel already? Anyways.
Now how does a guy like that afford his shows? I mean, you're talking about, you know, I'm a purist. See, I came to Las Vegas looking for that maverick spirit of the entertainer that would have nothing more than a microphone, a band, and a spotlight.
Right.
And what you do is something I admire so much, and that is interact with your audience. There is no wall between you and your crowd, whereas you go see like a Cirque du Soleil show, you might as well watch it on TV, in my opinion. I love Cirque du Soleil because they employ a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, to me, it's not Vegas. You are Vegas because it's about coming into a theater and having a unique experience each and every night, and that's what you supply, and I think that's absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
That's not easy to do, my friend, and I admire that greatly. Speaking of your show, did you design your set and your theater? Now, it looks like you went in to literally four blank walls and created your own environment.
I did better than four blank walls. I started playing that room when it was a check-in theater, a check-in lobby during the day. So there was literally a row of about a dozen check-in desks that the buses would stop in, and you know the buses would unload, and it would be overloading the front end, so they would bring them in this little room, and it was basically an empty room with these check-in desks along one wall. And every night, we set up and tore down a couple hundred chairs, and we take this great big piece of black cloth, and we covered up the check-in desks. And we did this every night for 8 months. And I remember setting up in that room, putting my life savings on the line, as a matter of fact, setting up in that room, and suits walking through the room going, oh, this is all temporary. It'll be gone in a couple weeks. And my attitude was, fuck you. That's what I said about that.
That, my friend, is the maverick spirit. of Las Vegas that I came to find.
You know what the funny thing is shortly after that, that's when Caesars Entertainment was bought by Harrah's, and all those executives lost their jobs.
Got you in the mouth open on that one. Give it.
Brilliant, my
friend.
Thank
you very much.
Well, I'll tell you something. We're going to take a short little break. You're watching Talk Tales with Chris Phillips. I am so proud to have Anthony Cools. And when we come back, I got to ask you, are you stealing shit already?
Nothing.
When we come back, I want to ask you about something, because if I recall, a couple seasons ago, I think I remember seeing Anthony on a very popular reality show that I'd like to ask you back. So we'll be right back.
We said we never talk about that. No, I'm out of here.
There we go. Hi, I'm Brian Malika, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network. How do you feel about that? I felt like it was a lot in the eyebrows right there.
Welcome back, folks. I'm so proud to have you here. My name is Chris Phillips, and you were watching the very first broadcast of Talk Tales.
I feel like Garth.
Yeah. Yeah, but he has more than four people in the audience like I do.
That's right. Where's Perry?
Well, before we took a little break, I had mentioned the fact that I remember seeing you on TV not too long ago in one of my favorite shows in the world, and I can't believe that you were somebody who went on TV and considered yourself a millionaire matchmaker, ladies and gentlemen. Would you mind telling us how in the world you got involved with that and what came from it?
Sure. Well, actually, it was probably one of the smartest marketing things I've done, to be honest with you.
I can't imagine. TV rules.
You have to understand that as a hypnotist, I face certain hurdles that you don't. And let me tell you that every network, every talk show, except this one, has got a no hypnotist policy. I will never be seen on Leno. I will never be seen on Letterman. I will never be seen on any of the
like
the networks apparently are very scared of having a hypnotist on the air. And Marshall Silvers was the last one on about 5 or 6 years ago on Letterman, and he screwed that up. He insulted Letterman, and that was the end of it. So at that point in time, there is no hypnosis policies on the networks. So I will never in a million years be able to get national advertising the way that you could go on and sing and perform or a comedian go on or promote a movie.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So I need to think of creative ways to get on television. I had a girlfriend of 3 years when I went onto the Millionaire Matchmaker show.
Well, let me tell you something. That's conducive to a healthy relationship, I can tell.
It was, it was great. And you know what? I went on. I had a blast doing it. I sort of turned the show a bit on upside down. I didn't do any millionaire type things I was supposed to do. I ended up taking her to Three Angry Wives pub, and we ate burgers and drank beers and did shots of tequila, and I drove around in my dad's pickup truck.
And you've been married ever since. I think that's wonderful. That's so cool. Isn't that sweet? So romantic.
That's so funny.
It sold a lot of tickets. I was going to say, that had to help attendance.
It sold a lot. I remember, I think on my Facebook, I got like 800 to 1,000 requests from women within an hour of the show being aired. And when the reruns run, they still come back on again. And I can look at the audience, and the first 10 rows deep was all, you know, gold-digging whores.
Well, my friend, speaking of gold-digging whores, I think that we might just happen to have somebody in our live chat room that may want to meet you and be one of those whores. So
great!
Do you mind taking a question from our live chat room?
Well, I said I'd answer anything.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Scott, what have we got over there?
We've got a ton of questions here. The first one is a business question. Anthony, how do you put asses in the seats? How do you get people to show up to your show?
Well, I'll tell you, in this town, it's a machine you need to set up. You really need to get this machine up and operating to get anything sold in this town. And some of the key elements are getting personal relationships with the people that are actually selling the tickets. You need to be friends with these people. It's critical. You need to offer a really decent commission on your ticket. I know there's a producer in town, not saying any names, David Sachs, who will offer like a ridiculous commission on a ticket. You know, if you, as a tourist, you walk into any ticket broker and that book is opened up, and what you see on that book is, it's got to be the V show. And I've seen ticket brokers say, no, don't go see Mystère, go see V, because out of that $77 ticket, most of the ticket value is commission.
So you need to get a high commission. You have to develop relationships. You need to get a strong marketing plan. And the most important thing is you need to develop to work on a four-day plan. You can't. Spending money on grand openings and celebrating things is ridiculous in this town because the town rotates every 4 days. They're here Wednesday, or they arrive on Thursday, and they leave on Sunday,
right? And I find this very interesting because I've talked to a lot of entertainers on the Strip, which is affected very differently than, like myself, who appeals to locals.
Right.
Which is a weekend type of crowd. With you, I have heard Tourists. That with one of the best nights of the week is a Tuesday, as
doesn't,
an example.
It doesn't matter. They're
it's
all just, the
it's all, it fluctuates with the conventions.
With the time of the year.
Time but of the year.
Honestly, it's you need to develop a plan that works on 4 days because in 4 days, all the tourists are gone and all new tourists are in here. So you need to resell yourself and reinvent yourself every 4 days in this town. And once you set
so you're
up
starting from scratch.
You're starting from scratch every 4 days. That's why I say these entertainers that spend $100,000 on a grand opening party, well, guess what? 4 days later, nobody knows.
Nobody knows who you are. That's right.
You know, and these people that advertise their show months before they open the doors,
waste.
It's ridiculous. No. When I opened up at the Paris, I started advertising the day before I opened up.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, do you mind taking another question? I know we have a lot.
Bring them on.
A lot of people with.
I got booze. I'm good to go.
All right. Some inquiring minds. Scott, what else you got over there?
This is an interesting one. Who's the one person that you do not want to screw over in Vegas?
Yes. I know there's. believe me, I've learned. You don't burn a bridge in this town. Is there one person you do not want to mess with?
There's two groups that you don't want to mess with. MGM and formerly Harrah's, now Caesars Entertainment. Yes. They own the Strip. So, but it's not a matter of who do you want to avoid to screw. You don't want to screw over anybody in this town. This town is a very small town.
Everybody
knows everybody.
I was going to say, there's 35 people that run this entire county.
You don't want to screw over anybody. And if you're a nice guy, people will go out of their way to make sure that you're going to do well. It's as simple as that.
It is. And It's a big city, but I've learned that it is possible to break through. And once you get to know a few of those key people, it obviously very much helps. And I think one of those people is on the phone or on the chat room. Apparently, Scott, there's just so many questions. Let's get to at least maybe one more.
We've got another one. This is actually kind of to both of you guys. What makes for a great Vegas show in a town swarming with talent? How does one stand out from like the Cirque du Soleil's?
Well, I could say in my case, I just show a lot of thigh. It's a very feminine leg.
I say the key is rings. You need rings. You can get rings, that's all it takes. There is a lot of fantastic entertainment. And to be honest with you, I think that speaking as a local, I think Cirque is getting a little diluted. And I think that at this point in time, people are looking for something that's not Cirque at this point. I mean, you go to, how many shows do we have? 8 now or 9? I mean, it's ridiculous. And why would you want to, see something that is becoming cookie cutter, or you want to see something that's very a unique experience for Las Vegas? You know, I think that's really critical. And I think a lot of tourists are starting to listen to locals now, too. And they're listening to their cab drivers.
Yes.
They're listening to the people driving the shuttle buses. And if you can get the shuttle bus drivers, the cab drivers, the limousine drivers to enjoy you, be nice to them, they're going to sell your show more than anything else.
Well, since you are Mr. Vegas Big Shot, I'm dying to ask this question. I've wondered this actually ever since I've known you, and I don't know the answer to this. But are you currently involved with a girl or a wife or a girlfriend or whatever that may be?
Of course not.
You're a hero.
I want to read you something.
Awesome.
No, I need you to read you something. This is actually quite humorous because
when you're dirty little sexts.
No, I got this message from a guy on Facebook, and I just thought it was probably the most brilliant thing I've ever heard in my entire life, and I'd like to share it with you. If that's okay. Do we have time for this?
I'm just gonna be over here drinking.
All right. Once upon a time, a prince asked a beautiful princess, "Will you marry me?" The princess said no. And the prince lived happily ever after. He rode motorcycles and fucked skinny, big-titted broads and hunted, did racing cars, went to naked bars, dated women half his age, drank whiskey, Captain and Morgan, and never heard bitching, never paid child support or alimony, he ate bad things, cheerleaders, and kept his house and guns and never got cheated on while he was at work with his friends, and his family thought he was fucking cool as hell. He had tons of money in the bank and he left the toilet seat up at the end.
Words of wisdom. That's really sweet that your mom texts you. That's really cool.
My dad.
Now, I gotta ask you this, too. I was just at your show the other night, as you know. You have some of the hottest chicks in town working for you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You've not only got this beautiful assistant on stage with you, but he's got...
Ashley is stunning.
Flanking the stage, two girls that I think you refer to as Brittany and Spears.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Now, how do I get their numbers? I just need to... What the hell?
Come to the show.
Well,
I do have beautiful girls in the show. My stage assistant, I've got two stage assistants. One of them is the princess,
yes.
And she's been with me for a year and change. And the other one's Ashley Mealy, and she's been with me for a year and change. And both of them are absolutely stunning.
Gorgeous.
And then all my school girls that are the ushers in the theater, too. It's the first impression of the Anthony Cool Show.
Well, the problem is, Anthony, I didn't hear a word you said all night because I was staring at Brittany.
Perfect. Got your money.
Now, maybe this is an uncomfortable question, but I know that I've been asked this by different things that pop up here and there that are similar to what I do. Now, with you, obviously, you're not the only hypnotist in town, now, contrary to what some people would say. But how do you feel about your competitors that come in and try to be Anthony Cools and do your shtick with the comedy and everything? I know there's some that work just within yards of where you do. Do you get along with them? Are you friends with your competitors?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say competitors. I would say colleagues at this point in time.
Yes.
And I get along very, very well. Mark Savard, Terry Stokes, Michael Johns, and way, way up the street, the gentleman over at the Riviera. Drawing a blank fart on him right now. He only does Monday nights. But the three main shows that are doing every night of the week, we all get along great. And there's lots of room in this town.
Absolutely.
You know,
no,
and,
I agree.
And what's the point of, like, this is it?
And what I love about your
grief,
show is in the beginning of your show, you have this really cool 30-minute 3D video that you show the audience. And in the movie, you have some of your fellow entertainer friends in the thing. I won't spoil it and such, but
no,
obviously
you don't,
this
don't
is.
Don't want to say the Carrot Top Center or anything like that. Okay.
You've got Carrot Top and others, and how does that work on a Saturday night, and you and Carrot Top and Chris Angel decide to go to a nightclub and get yourself a little VIP booth? You're getting the babes. Is that how that works?
To be
you
honest,
hang out in groups?
You know, I mean, as a local, you gotta pay me a lot of money to go down to the strip, seriously. I mean, as a local, I would much rather go to Red Rock and listen to Zoe Bowie than
yes, as everybody does.
Seriously, I mean, one of the first times we actually talked and we met, did I not go to Red Rock and say hi to you?
And I couldn't be more flattered and honored to have you there. I wish you would have stayed more than 5 minutes.
I was there for 45 minutes. I'm sorry, I had to leave after that. But you know that's the first time I met you, and I came to see you. You didn't invite me. I just said, you know what, I want to go see you.
I know, and thank God they had a special and really cheap draft beer. Because
that would explain the teeth. Okay, got it.
Well, do you mind taking one more question, if that's cool with you?
Dude, I know that I got lots of booze left. I'm
Scott's over there screaming at me that there's all kind of babes wanting to talk to
Anthony. I may need another $2 to validate the part of the <I know. laughs>
What do you got, Scott?
First of all, I don't feel like I'm screaming. This is to both of you. Whose wardrobe is worth more right now? Flip-flops versus Gucci loafers?
Not a doubt, not a shadow of a doubt. I mean, come on.
I didn't say that viewers were smart.
This is me dressed up.
Gucci loafers.
I dressed up for you to come on the show.
I mean,
normally it's like, you know, a t-shirt and shorts. That's it for me during the day. But you look great.
Okay, here's the other real question for Anthony. By the way, whoever that was, I want them thrown off the live chat. If you could hypnotize anybody, I mean anybody, who would that be and why?
If I could hypnotize anybody... Well, let's see. Anybody at all? Probably the president.
And why?
I'd own this country. Doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. I mean, really, you know? Anthony Cools has taken over every Cirque du Soleil showroom in town.
Now, with that said, just briefly, if I may ask, now that you've been in town several years, you've become very successful, obviously, but is there anything you would, in retrospect, possibly do differently?
Yeah, I branched off into a lot of producing in 2009.
And I noticed that you not only have your show, you produce other shows.
I produced Bobby Slayton at the Tropicana. I did a fantastic show. To this day, I'll swear it was probably one of the best shows in Las Vegas, called Freaks. It was over at O'Shea's. I did a show called Mental with Luke Germain. I did Ooh La La. It was a topless show over at the Paris. I produced all these other shows. And I, in hindsight, I would think to myself, what the hell was I thinking trying to open up five shows in a recession when shows are closing left, right, and center? But that was a mistake. But it was a mistake that it taught me how a lot about the business, and I'm grateful for that education. And I'm not done producing yet. I've got another thing in the works for September. So,
well, I am excited to see it. We're going to take another really quick little break here. And
sure.
Folks, once again, we're with Anthony Cools, the headliner over at the Paris Hotel. When we come back, we're going to do something we're going to call, what were you thinking?
That's a good, well, see, I could have
been. What were you thinking?
Last question's right there.
It's just five little statements, questions, names that I'm going to throw at you. And off the top of your head, I just want you to give me your initial reaction. We'll be back in just a minute. You're watching the Vegas Video Network. I'm Chris Phillips, and you're watching Talktales.
Hi, this is Scott Pritchard from Let's Bet. You're watching the Vegas Video Network. It's Vegas Video Network, not .com. You're not using this one, right? Don't you dare use this one.
Folks, we're back on the Vegas Video Network. You're watching Talktales with Chris Phillips, and I am so proud to have the very handsome and well-dressed, slightly wrinkled, Anthony Cools with us.
I just burped a little bit right there. Just want to let you know that.
Now, one thing that's disturbing me right off the bat is I hate drinking alone. If anybody knows me, they know that I love to share a cocktail with my friends, and so...
It's trying to get me drunk for this next segment, aren't you?
Well...
I'm not drunk, I can do this.
No, I'll tell you...
I can do this.
It just occurred to me that for these five questions...
Thank you for the person who caught the joke.
Yeah, right.
Okay, good to go.
We're going to do this little segment every week called What Are You Thinking?
Should I be scared right
well,
now?
Well, the thing that's scary is the fact that I was supposed to have something prepared. Some preconceived notion of what I was going to throw at you, but I'll make it up off the top of my head, and you
all
can
right.
tell me what you're thinking from off the top of your head.
Sounds good. I got my drink in my hand, ready to go.
Let's see. As it relates to Las Vegas, let me just throw out City Center.
Okay, am I supposed to say something
that? What's your opinion of City Center?
Well, considering I've invested a boatload of money in the stock market on MGM, I'm saying go, go, go!
With that answer in mind, Holly Madison.
Angel Perino. Laura Croft. Who is going to be coming on board?
I know.
In the Anthony Cools Show.
Well, I couldn't be more excited about that. I thought I would try to slide that in there for a little segue, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
How about the notion
Wait, I'm going to hold this some more.
Yes. Okay. President Trump.
He'd be easier to hypnotize than Obama. I don't think that the U.S. is ready for that haircut.
No.
I think as a businessman, I think if the country was run more as a business, that we'd be in a lot better shape. But I really don't think that, you know, the haircut, I mean, we'd be the laughing stock of the world.
Wouldn't fly.
It wouldn't fly, no. I like Donald Trump, you know, I think he's a brilliant businessman, but Donald, you know, lose the hair, you know.
Now,
on the other hand, I would vote for you for president. I think we should do that, get a campaign going. Chris Phillips for president.
Yes, because there's nothing that says president like a fake tan and goofy hair. Yes. I'll throw one more at you.
Well, then you could be the, you know, governor of California then, too. There you go.
I have my own opinion about this, and I'm just curious what you think, and then I'll wrap this up.
All right.
Bottle service.
I think that Las Vegas is getting cookie-cuttered to death with these nightclubs that are all the same.
I couldn't agree with you more, my
friend. To pay $1,000 to sit down at a table...
Oh, that's minimum.
...with a speaker 3 feet above my head, blasting out music that I don't like, To look cool? No. No, not my cup of tea whatsoever. I've not been to a Las Vegas nightclub, and I can't even remember how long it's been since I've gone.
Give me karaoke.
Okay, now I'll get. Let me tell you this. This is a good segue because I'm actually doing something here, and I'm going to do something for you that is going to be amazing because I'm giving you this as a scoop.
Right.
Okay. No media has heard this, what I'm about to talk to you about.
Oh,
right
I'm excited
now.
To hear.
Okay, you should be. I'm opening up my own bar.
Well, Anthony, now, damn it. That's exactly what I want you to tell me, because I need a place to go and hang out with my friends. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Ellis Island is getting old. What do you mean? Tell me what you've got in mind, my friend, and I will bring the masses. What are you doing? Because I want to know what you're up to. I know you got shit up your sleeve.
So
this sounds very exciting.
So, you know, the Fontainebleau project, $3.5 billion project, went belly up in 2009, and they auctioned off all of the interior of the casino, all of the hotel rooms, the carpet, the tile, everything like that. The Plaza downtown on Fremont Street bought it.
Oh,
okay, so now the Plaza is in a major renovation, $30 million, and I saw the model room myself. It is gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. The lobby is amazing. The Plaza is being redone on a level that is not Fremont Street has not seen yet. I would say even better than the Nugget's been redone. It's that gorgeous.
Quite frankly, I think Fremont Street in the downtown area is without question what Vegas used to be, what it should be, and will always be. And the fact that you're doing something down there,
yes.
Hats off to you. Tell me, what is this exactly?
So I've cut a deal with the Plaza, and we're going in, and we're opening up right on the main casino floor, a new bar. Now, I want you to hear me out before you judge it, okay? Because it is something that has not been done before. It is something very unique to not only the club industry, but very unique to Las Vegas as well. And it's the furthest thing from bottle service that you could possibly even imagine. All right.
I already love it, and I will already be there.
Now, it's a dueling piano bar, but it's a different dueling piano bar. First of all, we're going to be uncensored. We're putting the pianos right on the main floor, so you can literally walk up and put your shoulder on the guy playing the piano. There's that kind of interaction. We're putting a stripper pole between the two pianos, as a matter of fact. We're letting them be uncensored. We're letting them say whatever they want to say. We're not censoring them like all the dueling piano bars are doing. Now, for the outside of the bar, we're building an indoor 9-hole mini golf course, putt course. And we are designating each hole to something very cool about Las Vegas. We got props from old shows, we got paraphernalia from movies, we got all sorts of really cool stuff to design around the putt course. Around the entire bar, there's no sound. You will only have to hear the sound coming from the piano area. So if you're by the piano area, it's going to be loud and you'll be into it. If you walk away from that area, there's going to be no sound whatsoever. All the tables in the bar are interacted in such a way where you golf through all of the tables and around and end up on the ninth hole into the piano area. So if you see a good-looking table over there that you would like to meet that person or meet that person over there, you get your friends, no cover charge, reasonably priced drinks, you get your club, and you golf right over to the table.
See, that's brilliant. Now, if I know you the way I know you, you've got to have a clever name to this place.
It's the Swingers Club.
The Swingers Club. Of course it is.
Nice.
Well done, sir.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
It's got the music, it's got the golf, it's got to be the Swingers Club. Absolutely.
At the Plaza Hotel on Fremont Street.
Opening latest at the end of August. Hopefully before that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has truly been a pleasure for me. And now, if I may say, you have one of the most entertaining shows I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
It's at the Paris Hotel. It's you're on every night except Mondays and Wednesday.
That's why I'm drinking.
Yes. Well, I hope that we're going to continue this and go out and get in some trouble.
All right.
Well, my friends, this is so exciting for me to say that this is my very first show. And to have Anthony Cools on here has been an absolute treat. I hope that you're going to watch me next Monday at 4 o'clock. Remember, you can chime in anytime by going to our email address at talktales@vegasvideonetwork.com. Please, if you have any questions or comments, suggestions, please let us know. And otherwise, we're going to see you at Anthony Cool's show. Please check out the other shows on this network. They're really amazing.
Find me on Twitter. Find me on Facebook.
I had to do that.
And maybe later tonight, find us in jail. Once again, I'm Chris
Oscar,
Phillips.
It's Anthony.
Yeah.
Listen, it's near the end of your term. You can do this. You can do this.
Hey, all I have to say is I hope you have his wife's number from here on out.
This has been so fun. Thank you guys for watching. Once again, I'm Chris Phillips, or otherwise known as Zoe Bowie, and we'll see you out at Red Rock or Green Valley Ranch. And thanks to Vegas Video Network for letting me become my idol. Tom Snyder, Johnny Carson, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas.
Anthony Cools.
Anthony Cools. We'll see you next Monday. Thanks, my friend. You're the coolest.
Thank you very much. That's fun.
That's fun.
Absolutely, it was fun.